Church signs. So as we get started here tonight, I always love this here when you see the people put them on Facebook or they'll put them on the media, and it's somebody who tried to be clever for the little signs they put in their church to try to track people in. I'm like, going, I always love those. I think they're great. But there was one that I came across that I thought was pretty good. And it says, churchgoers may seek a life-changing experience, but only if it doesn't affect their lifestyle. And I'm like, well, how funny that is and how true that is. But every single believer at some point in their life will go through that and experience that where we don't know. We view things like, okay, I know I'm supposed to do this, but I don't think I'm ready. I'm not ready to stand out to do those types of things. So when we go through this, everybody's been there. We all need to realize our weaknesses and work on our weaknesses. So tonight we're going to do a little study here, and we're going to do it on this dude. Which here is his name. It's actually three syllables. Kagahi. Okay? Well, I know it's just easier to say, hey, guy. But that's it. And the guy had to be pretty cool dude because it's festive. Okay? And it shows in here, and this is all in the Strong's 10th in order of the minor prophets, or so-called minor prophets, as they normally say. First prophet to prophesy after captivity. Okay, so everybody now knows basically the time frame that we're looking at with Kahegi, or I'll just call him Magi. Born or taken into Babylonian captivity, we don't know. There's actually not a whole lot written on him. So what we don't, when he came into play is when it's written in the Word, but there's not a whole lot of stuff on there that tells. There's things that refer, like you can see in Ezra, Zechariah has some stuff in there, but basically it refers around the same thing. So whether he was born in captivity or taken into captivity, we don't know, but he was part of that, which was the 70 years, about 50,000 people. Okay, this is the initial cadre, if you will, coming back in, returned to Jerusalem, led by Zerubbabel, I think is how you pronounce that. Okay. His prophecy began about 16 years after the return from captivity. Okay, a lot of people will say his ministry, but it does not say that. It's just this is the words that came. This is the words that Yahweh told him to say, and this is what's written in the Word. He came out, though, with the synopsis of it, though, is basically four messages, if you will, as far as what's to be coming, what is being told by Yahweh. Message of conviction and priorities, message of courage and faith, message of cleanliness and holiness, and a message of covenant and promise. And I will tell you this, it's two chapters. That's all there is to that whole book. And it's a great book, a great read, because things that are happening today are the same things that happened back in their time. And so it's very, very relevant. A lot of times people will bypass the Old Testament because they think, well, we've got a new covenant now, or we've got, you know, post at this point, when even people looking at it, well, we've got the body now, the church. Still, those same things that are taking place back then are taking place now. So if two chapters is it, I mean, it literally takes you about 20 minutes to read the entire book. The messages were about faithfulness to Yahweh and glorifying Him. And this is one of the big things that we're going to see. Now, as I go through this, we're going to focus on the glorifying or glory, giving the glory to Yahweh. And a lot of times I know that's a hang-up with people. People are like going, well, who is this guy? This guy's got to have glory. We're supposed to bow down and give him glory. And I'm like, well, yeah. Yeah, and I think as I think about that, I'm like going, isn't that odd that somebody would wear something that they thought would bring them luck and pay patronage to something like that, or they would do a routine that they thought would bring them luck, but to give glory to an actual person who created you, that's silly. You know, you just, when we put these into perspective, it's really easy to see that. So this is where we're going to kind of focus and look at. And this is what a lot of the message is. We are not going to do the second chapter of Haggai. We're just doing the first chapter is all we're doing, but there's stuff that I'll use in here that's relevant to both. The big thing is how Yahweh will lead us if we let Him. Okay? Yahweh does not hold us. As we're sitting at dinner talking about having a ring through the nose, Yahweh does not do that to us. You have the freedom of choice. You have the freedom of will. You can choose to worship Yahweh. You can choose to glorify Yahweh. Remember my teaching 2 weeks ago, I talked about how the people were going through the motions, but it was empty. It was hollow. It was just a shallow, you know, we're just going through the motions. There was no incentive or initiative to doing it to please Yahweh or to glorify Yahweh, and Yahweh was not glorified. Okay, and that was the whole point of doing it. So when we do this, if we let Him do this, this is steps that we take that you can start from a smaller point and work your way up. We're also going to see this. I'm going to tie this into faith too. That glorifying is also brought in almost what you could say is the infancy steps of faith. okay, to do this, to be glorifying. And I'll kind of show you what I'm talking about on that. Earning Yahweh's favor by placing Him first in our lives and letting Him lead rather than us try to lead Yahweh. And that is too much as of what you see. Well, I'll do this, Yahweh. If I do this, You'll do this for me. Or this is all I'm willing to do. Or you show up with your needs list to Yahweh. And so it's where we try to do that. That's the whole thing, you know, that God is my co-pilot. Okay? Well, it should be pilot. He's pilot, okay? We sit back behind Him. We let Him navigate. We let Him run the brains forward instead of us trying to do it. And as we become more independent or more self-fulfilled, it is a tendency that we may try to do it the other way around. Okay, and it was kind of interesting. I was going through and I was looking for some quotes, and I came across one that not really relevant to teaching, but I just felt now that I should share it with you. It was kind of cool because it was a guy who said that money is not the problem as we look at it. So I was just talking about self-fulfillment. He said money's not the problem. He goes, people mistranslate the word saying that money is the root of all evil. He said, it's absolutely not. The love of money is the root of all evil. He says, you can have a poor person who focuses and spends all his time on what it would be like to be wealthy, who is in sin, and the wealthy person who is giving his money to Yahweh and using it for his purposes is doing exactly what he's supposed to be. The money, it's the love of it, the worship of it, the desire for it. So too many times, and we're seeing this now in modernization with this whole thing where, you know, even the Pope now is coming out about this against money and against these things. I'm like going, absolutely not. Yahweh's blessing him. Remember, he put the money, the gold and the silver, in the Israelites' hands as they were exiting Egypt.
Yeah.
Why? What are they going to go buy? Okay? To glorify Yahweh. But he had the means to do it. And these people who held them in captivity, who just went through days of crises, now are giving all their treasures away. Boy, that's kind of odd. Well, whose did it belong to? Whose silver and gold was it? Well, the people thought it was theirs. Yahweh says, give it to them, and the people do. Okay? So Yahweh can do those things. So when we look at this, we give these things. So the people who have that money, the root of all evil is not money, but the love for money. And so I thought that was a great quote that this guy put in there, that it's a poor person can be in more sin if they have the wrong intentions with it than anybody else. Okay, hey guys, prophecies. And this was kind of cool. I got this off one of the study things with the online Bible. This is a preponderous and simple dignity in an emphatic reiteration addressed alike to every class of community. Nobody's exempt. Prince, priests, and people. Be strong, be strong, be strong. Cleave, stick fast to the work you have to do, or again, consider your ways, consider, consider, consider. And this is what you find within the two chapters of Haggai, of what they were supposed to be doing, and the prophecies that were told to Haggai by Yahweh for him to tell them on what they're supposed to do. So there is repetition in there. Anytime there's repetition in the word, there's a point. There's a highlight. Okay, you know, it's like the instructor kicking the desk. Okay, I should know that there. That's a good thing to know. But this is it. Those should highlight things. Why does Yahweh, in His own prophecies, say the same thing over a couple times? Okay, well, that's highlight. Bring some attention to it. So let's go there to it. And I will call up a page. I forgot to do a page for the children tonight. We're going to be on page 899. Okay, it's right after Zephaniah. And right before Zechariah. Two pages. That's it.
899.
And since there's 15 verses, I did not put it up on the screen. But I will read this. And starting off here, before I get into one, it says right above it, in the second year of King Darius, the prophet Haggai seeks by appealing to the experience to stir up the zeal of the returned captives in building the house of Yahweh in Jerusalem. His appeal is successful. All right, everybody there, we're starting in 1, and basically this is all the way through 15. Okay? In the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month on the first of the month. This is kind of neat how this is exactly spelled out to the date, what date we're talking about. Okay? The first of the month came the word of Yahweh by the hand of Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Pasha, or governor of Judah, and unto Yehoshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, okay, Yahweh saying, Thus speaketh Yahweh of hosts, saying, this people have said, not yet hath come the time for the house of Yahweh to be built. Therefore, now remember, we're about 15, 16 years back from being returned, okay, from the Babylonian captivity. Therefore hath come the word of Yahweh by the hand of Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time that ye yourselves should be dwelling in your own paneled houses or roofed houses, and this house be in ruins, his own house? Now therefore, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, apply your hearts unto your own experience. What we're referring to here by apply your hearts by your own experience is to ponder upon, to recall, to bring back. Okay, ponder upon. Apply your heart to your own experiences. In verse 6, ye have sown much, but have brought in little. Have eaten, but have not been filled. Have drunk, and have not been satisfied with drink. Have clothed you, and none hath been warm. And he that hath hired himself out hath put his wages into a bag with holes. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, apply your hearts into your own experience. Second time. Ponder upon this. Think about these things. What's happened? What's going on? Ascend the mountain and bring in wood and build the house, that I may be pleased therewith and get myself glory, saith Yahweh. When he looked for much, then lo, it came to little. When he brought it home, then did I blow into it. Because of what? Demandeth Yahweh of hosts. Because my house, the which is in ruins, while ye keep running every man to his own house. Wherefore, on your own account, have the heavens held back dew, and the earth held back her fruit, and I have called for drought, and upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon man, and upon beast, and upon all the labors of the land. Verse 12. Then hearkened Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Yehoshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all the remnant of the people, unto the voice of Yahweh their Elohim, and unto the words of Haggai the prophet, as Yahweh their Elohim had sent them. And the people stood in awe before Yahweh, and spake Haggai the messenger of Yahweh in the message of Yahweh of the people, saying, I am with you, declareth Yahweh. Somebody want to read 14 and 15 for me?
Sure. Thus did Yahweh stir up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Pash of Judah, and the spirit of Yehoshua, son Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came in and did service in the house of Yahweh of hosts, their Elohim, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king.
That's it. And so that's it. There was very specific on that. And so we're not going to read into two, but what I would do is I would encourage everybody to do that. It literally takes just a matter of a few minutes to do it, and it's a wonderful completion to the story that brings so many things into play that are things that we're dealing with even to this day now. You can look back all through history and see it playing over. The focus was on themselves, okay? So 16 years came back after they had come back from captivity, and nothing had been done basically for the house of Yahweh or the temple. But I have so much to do, so little time to do it, all the same things. And so you think about that. I think about that. When I was retiring from the military, as soon as I get settled, I'm going to do this. As soon as this happens, I'm going to do this. And all these things. As soon as the kids are raised, I'll do this. All these things, and yet then it happens. And then you show up, well, we got to build our house. We got no place to live. All these things kept happening where it pushes it off to the side. And I'm like going there, I don't care who it is. I talk, my clients tell me, when we retire, we find ourselves more busy than when we were working. There is no time, no slack time that people see. And so there's always a reason to get out for, well, when this happens, then we'll do it. And when this happens, never happens. Okay, the first fruits, and this is why I think it's really, really important, is the reprioritizing. And it's funny because I take care of my bird feeders and the little jam things. And as I'm doing this, I'm seeing things. And it's the same thing I see in our government today, where I go out there and I take the hummingbird feeder and I pull it off and it's down. You know, it has very little of the sugar water in it. And I take it into the sink and I open it up, and it is filled literally with hundreds of gigantic black ants, most of which are dead, that have gorged themselves to death and got themselves trapped into something. And here it is. Boy, look at this. Come up to this place. All the free sugar you can have. And I think about that with a kid. You know, if a parent said, what do you want to eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Cake. You got it. Okay? How long now? The kid thinks, holy cow, I won the jackpot. This is outstanding. How long does it take before the payback of that starts to run down? And now when you get older, you realize that was horrible. But at that time, boy, it seemed great. And so I see that when I'm doing that, and I see that within our government where the free handouts, we'll give you this, and we'll give you this, and we'll give you that. And we won't worry about tomorrow. We won't worry about that. We won't worry about adding all this debt to your children. We're going to give it to you now. And everybody's just like going, bring it, let me have it. And so there's no consequence. And so I look at that. And so when we look at the first fruits, and I did a teaching of this about a year and a half ago or so, first fruits were to give what? First fruits, the first of the things. Now, is that or is that not the first step in faith? If I'm taking these things, and even that with the sacrifices, you look at the sacrifices that were done, they had to bring the unblemished, the perfect ones. That's tough. Because you're in your mind, you're like going, golly, you know, that's Yahweh. Does he really need this? He's got a lot. And this guy over here, I saw him doing his sacrifice, and he sacrificed a pretty big, you know, ox for Yahweh. So this one should be okay. And so all these things, when we do this, the first fruits, it's the same thing with us, that the first thing that we should be doing before we do anything else is coming before Yahweh. I mean, use David as an example. We come before Yahweh. What do we need to do? What is our need for this? And so somebody who would tell you, my day is completely booked. I mean, from 7:30 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, I can show you every 15 minutes where I've got something. I cannot squeeze it in. And I'm like going, you got a problem. Okay, you know what I say? I say, you got a bag full of holes. You got a bag full of holes. That's what you got. Stop and take the time, because by taking that time, the Egyptians could say, well, we have no money. We have nothing to do. We're giving all our stuff to these people. And so in the same way, Yahweh can deliver, but here we are, you know, tied up with every single thing, and yet we come to Yahweh when we have made the time, instead of making it the first fruits. Okay? Sowing in faith. And that's where I say, by doing that initially, right off the bat, you sow into the faith of this by doing the first fruits. Before things get hectic, you get down. I know that I've got a terrible day, so I'm going to get up 10 minutes early. And the first thing I do before I do anything is I'm going to come before Yahweh, and I'm going to intercede, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give glory for crying out loud. In the back of my mind, golly, I got to get going. I hope there's still hot water. All these things going through your mind. And to flush that out for just a few minutes, to come before and to do this for Yahweh. And why? Does Yahweh need the glory? Okay. Not really. A lot of this is for us. Yahweh wants that, but he wants that relationship with us. But it's our glorifying him. And by doing this, it separates us and it gives it. And guess what? So as you do this, you will find more time during the day for what you need. Remember that every seventh year, the ground rested. Now, think about that. An entire year without sowing. Okay, is that faith? Is that faith that you're putting into Yahweh that he's going to provide? That the sixth year was going to be a double portion. And so you're being like, going, holy cow. Well, what if the eighth year is a drought? Now we go 2 years. And all these things, what are we going to do? I better work harder. I better get out and just do all these things. And all of a sudden our mind starts running amok from the things that we put on upon ourselves. And Yahweh's telling you, no, come before me. Glorify me. You will get these things. All that work that those people did, and every single one of them, they came up short for everything that they were doing. Our gifts are very pleasant to him. He loves to see us lay our time, our talents, substance on the altar, not for the value of what we give, but for the sake of the motive from which the gift springs. And that's from Charles Spurgeon. I think that's great, because I think about that for the people who gave. And the whole thing with the 10%, that somebody who gave little, but they gave freely, they gave with their heart, that this is what they wanted to do, Yahweh's blessed from it. And guess what? Yahweh's not waiting for that so he can cash that into his bank so that he can do something with it. Yahweh's doing this for us. Giving to Yahweh is for us as well. That this frees us and it releases us and it builds faith within us that we're able to glorify Yahweh and come before him. That I may be pleased therewith and get myself glory, saith Yahweh. And again, when I say that, that's from right from where we read. That I may get myself glory. And so for the people who have the hard heart that don't want to come down and say, why do I have to give this guy glory? I'm like, well, you don't. You don't have to. That's your choice. You can go without doing that. But this is what we do. And this brings a connection to us, to our Creator, by giving the glory. Creation declares the glory of Yahweh. Let's flip over to Psalms 19. And we're going to be on page 537. And I'll let one of the children read, whoever gets there first.
I'm there.
You're up, dude.
Okay, well,
wait a second for everybody else there. First one.
Okay, 19:1?
Yes.
Okay. At 36.
Verse 1.
Okay. The heavens are telling the glory of Yahweh, and the work of his hands, the expanse is declaring.
That's it. The heavens are telling the glory of Yahweh, or El. Okay, and so when we see this, this is what we're saying. So when we see these things, when we look out and see these things, for those people who don't have eyes to see, they will miss these things. When we go out and we see these things, we're like going, oh my gosh, yeah, you look at the stars, and the stars are a witness. And you're like going, I can see it. I can absolutely see this. I can understand this. So when I look at the things, the beautiful things that are out there, and the creatures that are out there, and the wonderful things that we, you know, that are there, I can see this. This is a handiwork of our Creator. Well, guess what? That's glory. All these things are showing glory to Him. The people that are not, well, they're not going to. They're just going to completely miss it. But they're also not going to be given the glory to Yahweh, and they're going to miss out on all the benefits of it. We're going to go over those. Glory to Yahweh. The importance of the glory. Okay, flip over to Isaiah, and we're going to kind of break these down step by step for some of them that are in here. Isaiah 43, 5, and 7. Did you look up at me when I said it? Isaiah 43, 5 through 7.
687.
Okay, Melania, would you like to read a couple verses here?
She's right there.
Okay, we're on page 687. Are you there?
Yep.
Okay, starting in verse 5 through 7, honey. Nice and loud.
I will make the place that was dark before.
Are you on 43, verse 5 through 7? Here, I'll read this here. It's 43:5. It starts off as, do not fear. Okay? Do not fear, for with thee I am. It was funny, as a lot of the prophecies had that tonight. From the east I will bring in thy seed, and from the west I will gather thee. Are you there now?
Yep.
Okay, how about reading 6 and 7 for me, sweetie?
Okay. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring in my sons from far, and
my daughters
from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom for mine with glory I have created, formed ye made.
That's it. Everyone who's called by name, by my name, whom for mine own glory have I created, formed ye made. So the glory is important, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. The glory, to be the give Yahweh the glory, the temple for Yahweh was so that we could go meet with Yahweh. Okay? Did Yahweh need us to come and meet with Him, or did we need to go hear from Yahweh and have that? Absolutely. And so this was to glorify Him. This is to put yourself in good positioning so that you may hear from Yahweh. Psalms 4. Flip back here a few pages. 530. And this is 4, 1 through 8, and I'll read this as soon as everybody's there.
Page 530.
Okay, and an excellent example of, like I said, of someone showing the glory and just coming before Yahweh in all things, the first fruits, to come before, to go into battle, to come before all these things that you may feel, you may even hear. We may think we're walking into something that we've got whipped. We're going to go play one-on-one, you know, with a six-year-old, you know, basketball, and you're like going, give me a break. This will be a piece of cake. I don't even need to take my pants off, you know, to put some sweats on. I'll just go out there, and then you show up, and this kid's just running circles around you. You're like going, what happened? What just? This is where I say with going to battle, that when we take our own understanding, and we don't come before Yahweh, and we don't check in, and we're not doing that, that's giving glory to Yahweh, for one, that we have the faith to come before Him and place our trust into Him, and it gives us the words and the wisdom that we need that when we go out and do anything. And it may be something we've already, this is a piece of cake. It's walking in the park, and then all of a sudden you find out, wait a second, there's something else going on here that I had no idea, and I'm about to get blindsided. Starting in chapter 4, verse 1 through 8, to the chief musician with the stringed instruments, a melody of David. When I cry, answer me, O mine own righteous Elohim. In a straight place thou hast made room for me. Show me favor and hear my prayer. Ye sons of the great, how long, turning my glory to contempt, will you love emptiness? Will you seek falsehood? Be deeply moved, but not by sin. Ponder in your own heart upon your bed and be silent. Okay, this is where, when we're reading that in chapter 1, where it talked about in your heart to be pardoned. So we're going to see this comes up a lot in chapter 2 of Haggai, that where it talks about that is for you to be placing thought and emphasis in your mind on what's happening and what's taking place, but not to let your mind go amok. But even with that, you can just be sitting there and you can just be glorifying Yahweh. But then it says in here, ponder in your own hearts upon your bed, comma, and be silent, to be listening, and to be at peace, and to be at rest. Verse 5, sacrifice the sacrifices of righteousness, as we talked about last week. They were not doing sacrifices of righteousness. And put your trust in Yahweh. Multitudes are saying, who will show us prosperity? This is where we see today. Who will show us? Uncle Sam, will Uncle Sugar, he'll take care of you. Okay? No, who will show you prosperity? Lift up upon us the light of thy countenance, O Yahweh. Thou hast put gladness in my heart beyond the season when their corn and their new wine have increased. In peace will I lay me down and at once sleep. For thou, Yahweh, wilt cause me, that thy Yahweh alone will cause me in security to dwell. Okay? And so this is where we see it. And so I'm going to go over a couple points here as we close this down here on when we look at this. And if you guys want to switch back to Haggai, I'm going to give you the page for it here. It is in chapter 2. You don't necessarily have to go to it, but I'm going to read a couple of them. And the chapter 2 is on page 900. I'm sorry. Okay. But to bring glory to Yahweh is a few things that I'm going to show in here that we're doing as we go through this, because this is to glorify Yahweh. And it's for our benefit that we glorify Yahweh. Because what happens when you glorify Yahweh is we reap. We get benefits. So if somebody's like, well, I don't want to glorify Yahweh, why do I have to do that? A smug guy, he's got to have glorification. Say, well, go without. Hey, if you don't want your birthday presents, if you don't want these things, perfectly fine. Okay, this is what Yahweh wants. And by doing it and being obedient to Him, I get rewarded. You know, it's no different than a kid who says, hey, if you brush your teeth, I've got something for you. Really? Okay, I'll do it. Well, I don't really want to brush my teeth. Who are you to tell me to brush my teeth, for crying out loud? But this is the mentality that we submit ourselves down, and the glorification, for crying out loud, it should never be to the point where we feel committed that we have to put glory to Yahweh. It should never be that way. It should be to myself, we can't wait to lay upon these and heap upon these and speak in tongues to Yahweh. Just pour out. And that's how it should be. But if we're not there to get to that point, these people obviously were not at that point. And so this is why prophecy came in, to tell them. Okay? Obedience turned from disobedience. So this is the first point. Yahweh, to bring glory to Yahweh, is to choose obedience and to turn from disobedience. Now, it sounds kind of funny that you would have to put both those in there, but yeah, to turn from disobedience, not being obedient, pretty much is disobedient as far as I'm concerned. But put them in there together. Yahweh told to build His house. Around 500 years later, Yehoshua said in Luke 9:23 and 24, and He was saying unto all, if anyone intendeth after Me to come, let him deny himself. Now, as you hear these things that come out, it's like, ups, down, downs, up, what? I don't get it. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and be following Me. For whosoever intendeth his life to save shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for My sake, the same shall save it. And so when people hear that, that makes no sense. To lose my life, I save it. But to save my life, I lose it. Yeah. Okay. To give glory to Yahweh brings all kinds of benefits to me. Okay. And it's obedient to Yahweh. By the way, the temple that they're going to rebuild is going to be the temple. Okay. This will be the temple. So, and what's it say in there? It says that it's going to be better. It's going to give more glory than the first temple. Holy cow! 16 years have gone by and nothing's happened to it. Now, partially was they came up against a lot of resistance. They had a very unfavorable government that was breathing down their neck. Samaritans coming after them, they were under a lot of ridicule. Well, where do you think that came from? think the adversary had any kind of play in that to stop this glorious, a more glorious temple than the first one? Absolutely, it's going to stop. It's going to hinder. And so guess what? Well, golly, you know, look at the time. I got a good excuse to not be doing it. Okay, and this is where we have to say, holy cow, I really don't want to go up against this battle. This is not really a battle I'm looking forward to. And really what battle is to start with. But anyhow, we do this and we push through this and we do this for Yahweh. And we are glorifying Yahweh when we do those things. Haggai reminds the people of Israel that there are consequences for disobeying Yahweh. Okay, you have sown much but have brought in little, have eaten but not have been filled. So as you go through this, these people were taking everything into account for themselves. We need this for this. We need that for this. And they ended up short on all of them. And yet, next year, we'll sow more. And came up short. And everything that came up short with been filled, drunk and not satisfied with drink, clothed and still not warm, and their riches that they put into a bag just seeping out. I mean, think about trying to carry water in sackcloth.
Yeah.
Okay? It's just pouring out. Well, I better go back and get some more. Next time I'll put more water in my cloth sack. Okay? And so now we're like going, well, that didn't really help. It didn't really do anything. Okay? You're missing the point for crying out loud. And this is where sometimes people don't, and it's almost like that hard knock that you got to be like going, hey, stop what you're doing. Come before Yahweh. Give the glory. First fruits, before anything, start throwing these out. To bring glory to Yahweh, second point, is to consider our actions. Yahweh calls us to reason, consider, examine. That's where he talks about of the heart. The things that we do. Okay, in 1, 5, and 7, now therefore, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, apply your heart, can put these considerations unto your own experiences. In 2:15, now therefore I pray you apply your heart from this day and upwards, so long as there had not been one stone upon another in the temple of Yahweh. Nothing had been done. And he goes, it's time to get moving. Aaron, your prophecy tonight, get moving, get stepping, get doing these things.
Yeah.
Absolutely, this is what they were told. Start doing this. Start getting these things done. Okay, 2:18, apply your heart. Boy, there's like the fourth time in two chapters that it said this. I pray you from this day and upwards, from the 24th day of the ninth month, even from, it's like the time stamp. That's what kind of correction. Here you go. You've been served. Here's your summons there. Okay, you've been warned. Here it is. Even from the day when it was founded the temple, apply your heart. Apply your heart. Put the considerations in and start doing it. Start thinking about these things. So if a person says, well, I'm just supposed to walk by faith alone, okay? You are supposed to walk by faith. It doesn't say faith alone, okay? You are supposed to be. And guess what? Yahweh is going to, as you come before Yahweh in silence, Yahweh is going to fill you with ideas, with instructions. And are you just supposed to just, okay, we have to put thought on that. He may say, you need to do this. Be at this place at this time. Okay, to do that, I'm going to need this, 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 and this. Is that anything else that I need, Yahweh? Okay, this is a conversation that could be an ongoing conversation. Is there anything else I need? All right, I'm getting ready to head out. Anything I need to know before I go? No, go. Okay, so I show up, and I'm like going, I don't know what I'm going into, but guess what? I've been told. And I check in. Is there anything else I need to know? I may get information as I'm going through this right before I step out of the car to do something. Great! You're walking in faith, and guess what that does? I've got faith. Yahweh's going to be there to work me through this. So who gets the glory? Yahweh gets the glory by us walking in faith. Okay, the benefits, okay, to bring glory to Yahweh is to receive the blessings. This is where it comes to us. Yahweh's blessed because we're being obedient, doing it. The enthusiasm, and this was it, 1:14. Thus did Yahweh stir up the spirit, okay, of these people, spirit of them, the high priest, and the remnant of the people, okay. He stirred this up in them as the people come before them. He told the message. The message was received. Okay, great. The message was received, and we'll get to it. We'll get going on it. But it was the enthusiasm. And you think about that. If you heard from Yahweh and Yahweh told you to go do something, would you not? You might in the back of your mind be like going, "I don't know what this is, but I just got instructions. I've just been dispatched." I mean, it's like the person who goes and delivers a message. I've got a top priority message that needs to go to this person. They hand it to you, and you're like going, I'm in business. I am out the door. And this is how we need to be where we're doing that. That enthusiasm that we just got tasked. And if we're not tasked, we're ready to go. Hey, what's next? Tell me what to do. I'm ready to go. Ready to go. The strength. Now, therefore, this is also in chapter 1, therefore, before, be strong. Okay? Oh, Yahushua. Next one down here you see. And be strong. Whoops, I need to back up one here. Be strong. Be strong. For I am with you, declareth Yahweh of hosts. Okay? Be strong, all you people of the land, urgeth Yahweh, and work. For I am with you, declareth Yahweh of hosts, and the very thing that I solemnized with you when you came forth out of the land of Egypt, that my spirit abiding in your midst, you should not fear. And to go out. This is the faith. This is the faith. By giving the glory, by doing these things and stepping through those, you are walking in faith, you are giving glory to Yahweh, and you are being blessed. Other blessings, okay? Continued. Resources and prosperity. Well, great. Everybody can definitely benefit in that area. Now, in chapter 2, verse 8, mine is the silver and mine the gold, declareth Yahweh of hosts. Yahweh can dispatch wherever needed. And guess what? People say all the time, well, the earth has a limited amount of gold. Yeah, no, it really doesn't. If Yahweh needs to displace a whole bunch of gold in a certain area, I'm pretty sure it will happen. Okay, Yahweh can create and put something. He grabbed a person and moved him to a different place. Okay, he teleported people long before teleportation was ever even an idea. Do you think gold, manufacturing a little bit of gold upon earth is a big issue? When, guess who made it to start with? Hey, I just need to whip up another batch of gold or silver. It's available. All these things are available. And if he tells you, well, it's going to come from your worst enemy. All right, it's your gold, it's your silver, bring it. I don't care, you tell me. I'll walk where you want me to walk. In verse 9, greater shall be the last glory of this house than the first. The new temple, greater glory for Yahweh in this. Now, think about that, how important that is. Saith Yahweh of hosts, and in this place will I give prosperity, declareth Yahweh of hosts. Okay, he wanted the temple built. Okay, get to it. No stone has been stacked yet. Get to it that you may be blessed, that by me being in your presence and with you and you coming before and humbling yourself and glorifying me, you are going to reap a ton of benefits. Like going, all right, so let me think about this here. So let me weigh these out. Okay, the scales tipped up. I'm going to do it. All right. 19 of verse of chapter 2. Is the seed yet in the storehouse? Howbeit, though, a present, neither vine nor fig tree, nor the pomegranate, nor the olive tree have brought forth. From this very day will I bless you. Everything that they had been doing was going through the motions. And so when we look at that for Christians, how many times do we look at where Christians are going through the motions? Lack of enthusiasm, lack of strength, lack of prosperity, lack of all these things. And they're, hey, what's going on? Now, it does not mean that somebody's not in the will, but to have those things, to be glorifying Yahweh. Everything that we see, everywhere we go, when we walk out, people should see us. Hey, what's so unique about you? Well, I'm just, as I go about shining, I am glorifying Yahweh and glorifying Christ by people watching and seeing that you're happy, that seeing that you're fulfilled. If you're always in the dump, always just worn down, you know, snuffleupagus, people like going, hey, how long what you got? Yeah, go away from me. Okay, and so that's the whole thing where we do this. These people, if you are in Yahweh's will and you are doing the things, you are going to be blessed. And I don't care how busy you are, you make those first fruits and Yahweh will communicate with you. Okay? Discipline is love. So, spank those kids. Not really. Okay, let's go to Revelation 3. And I lost my little marker. It came out. So,
254.
The Revelation, 319. Elijah, would you be interested in reading one for me? And give me a minute, too, because my marker came out of it. Oh, there it is. It just got folded over. 319.
As many as I tenderly love, I convict and put under discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent.
That's it. That's it. Okay, I did not read the whole blurb of that. And let me do it real quick. I'm just going to jump up here to 17. Okay, I'll actually start at 16. I'm going to read through this real quick just so that nothing looks like it's out of context. Thus became lukewarm thou art, and neither hot or cold I am about to vomit thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, rich I am and have become enriched, and of nothing have I need, and knowest not that thou art the wretched one, and pitiable, and destitute, and blind, and naked. Puts a little different spin on the scripture we just read. Yeah. So that's why I'm going back and reading this, so that we get the full content. I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire, that thou mayest become rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest array myself, and the shame of thy nakedness may not be made manifest. And eye salve to anoint thine eyes, that thou mayest see us. I, as many as I tenderly love, convict and put under discipline. and zealous there, be zealous therefore and repent. Lo, I am standing at the door and knocking. If anyone shall hearken unto my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him and he with me. Okay, so when we read this, the discipline, we should be zealous. We're supposed to be zealous to prophesy. We're also supposed to be zealous for their approval. The people at Haggai's time that he came to were, they received it exactly the way that they were supposed to receive it and immediately started to move and were told the promises of what they're supposed to do. They received the message, and that's what, that was the first part of it. So that is basically it. We cannot have life-changing experience unless it changes our lives. That's pretty self-explanatory. Yeah. But that's it. And so for us to do those things, we have to step out. And that's where stepping out and being wrong, you're still stepping out. And are you bringing glory? Aaron and I were talking about the other day that if other apostles would have stepped out of the boat and immediately sank, guess what? They might have been written in. Might have been written in that they, that this happened. And what would people think? I'd be like going, you're bold. You are very bold. This is incredible to do this. You failed. But you did it. You did it, for crying out loud, because how many people didn't? Didn't take that step. Didn't move to that initial move. And that's where I look at that and I say that by doing these things, we learn. And by checking in with Yahweh, hey, Yahweh, you're telling me to do this. Christ told Peter to come to it. Okay, you tell me to come to you. Obviously, it doesn't mean I'm going to drown in the process of doing this. So for us to do it, it's the same way. It's glory for Christ for him to see that. Yes, you have little faith. You have huge faith. You are a pyramid, just a pillar for people to look at and say, this guy walked on water. He did it. He did it with Christ. And so I'm like going, yeah, absolutely. And so for us to do that too, that to make those life-changing moments, we've got to do something sometimes that's a life-changing event. All right, I'm going to go ahead and close here, and we'll have a prophecy for those watching. We thank you, Yahweh, for the words you give. We thank you for the history that we have the written word, that we're able to go through it. And as we do, that we just learn, that we just extract all the things, that we sift it. We sift it as a fine wheat, that we're able to find all the things in it, that the just wonderful bounty that you've just laid out before us. So we're able to learn from it, experience from it, and that we can feed upon it even for our lives today. So we thank you for it. We thank you for all of you given, just for the body that we are in, that we're in such a great era, such a great time period right now, that we're able to have the authority. We have the authority of Christ, of Yahushua. And so we thank you that we're able to do that, to go about, that we are able to cast out, we are able to speak to the elements, speak to these things, speak to the winds and to the rain and the storms. And so what a power that we have, that we're able to do this, and that we look for the opportunities, that we stand out and we boldly confess this, and that as we do this, that we do bring glory to you, Yahweh, that you have made these things available and you're calling upon us to do these and all these more things to do. That as Christ told us, that he went to you, but as he does that, we're able to do all that he did and more. And so and more is the things we look at, that we're able to step out and be able to do these things. So we thank you for that. We thank you for the words that you give us, that you put upon our hearts, that we're able to speak these things in truth. And so we just come before you in thanksgiving, and all this through your Son's name, Christ Jesus. My children, level yourself out. Put yourself in order and in line, that you know that I have counted you and I've counted every hair on your head. And I know you. I know every intricate portion of you. And I am aware of the shortcomings. I'm aware of the needs. And I'm aware of all the things, the problems, and the frustrations that you have. And I am here. I have promised these things. And read my word. As you come before me and you seek information and you seek guidance, the directions that I've given you directions to come to my word. Come to my word. And so before you open my word, lay down before me. Lay down and intercede with me, that I may direct you, that I may show you the things that I have in store for you. You have to take the first step. You take this step before me. Open my book. Open my words, that I have written these things, that these things have been sought after for generation upon generation. That the information that is available to you is not always available to all the people. That there are people still today that do not have the access that you have. Take advantage of this. Take a hold of this. This is a tool. It is like a wild instrument, a magic wand, if you will, that as you open these things, that the power and the manifestations will be opened and revealed to you, that you may be able to grab hold of these things. For you have the capabilities, and you are not shortcomings of anything. For I am able to take care of any any problems or anything along those ways, but I am calling you to get out and open my book. Open my book and my words and study these things as you do these, that I will meet you and I will come before you to fulfill these desires, the things that you have sought after when you have spoke to me.